Okay.
Being a state teacher for the state education system, which fortunately, I'm not sure if now it's been reestablished or whatever as far as the funding goes, but how did you feel about the 1955 decision to repeal two sections of Section 256 of the state constitution, which is basically, it said, this was right on the borderline of Brown versus the board, okay? And Alabama legislature was looking for a way so that they could go around it so they wouldn't have to deal with it. And one of the only ways they could really do that was take the funding for state schools out of the state. And that way they wouldn't have to fund anything. And that way, if they weren't funding it, they really wouldn't have any say as to whether or not to segregate it. It would be left up to the public or like the local officials. And the local officials then would decide whether or not someone can go to the school or not. And that wasn't a state issue anymore. And
I don't think I can comment on that because
was there any money lost, or was there? I mean, I would take it that you grew up in an area that wasn't as much financially destitute as other areas were, and there wasn't a huge black population where it was really to be concerned whether or not there was to be integration.
I don't think I really can comment on that particular thing intelligently because I don't remember. Alabama schools have always, we've always been taught there's no money for this and there's no money for that.
Uh-huh.
And that just falls in with all the other shortages that I have come up on. When I taught in public schools, I have had to go to the dime store and buy equipment of my own sometimes in order to work in the classroom. Now, I never did a great deal of it because I didn't have the money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember that we were cut in Gadsden for that particular reason.
But see, the funding wasn't there. Like, you actually did that. You went and bought your own
supplies.
Sometimes
I did, yeah.
Okay.
Roll books. We were given chalk, I think. But if I wanted construction paper, I bought it.
Uh-huh.
Red pencils, of course, we do that now. But I have lived all my life in Alabama with a shortage of materials. If we had all the materials we needed, I think the world was coming to an end.
Okay. Do you find it that... okay. Here's a couple things that are kind of local. Do you find it ironic that Bibb Graves was in the Ku Klux Klan? Did you know that?
Governor Bibb Graves?
Yeah, he was.
I didn't know that.
Former head of the Montgomery Ku Klux Klan.
I didn't know that.
And
that was before my time.
Okay, that was right. It was in the 20s.
Yeah.
But that our school building,
well, you
though.
Know, many men of that time, I guess, were.
Yeah. The white citizens.
But I was a child, and I don't remember. Was that building over there? I knew he was governor, but I don't remember anything about that because that was before my time.
That it just struck me because I knew that that was Bibb Graves Hall ever since I got here, and actually I called it Bob Graves for the first couple of weeks.
No,
but
Bibb Graves,
yeah.
And he was governor when that money was allocated for the building.
Yeah, and then I was reading in my book. This was way early in the semester when I knew that I was going to do this report, and I was flipping through it, and it showed this big motorcade going through Montgomery, and it said Governor Bibb Graves or future Governor Bibb Graves, who used to be head of the Montgomery KKK organization, and I was like, whoa,
that's news to me. I didn't know that.
And George Wallace's name is on Martin Hall, which I found. I mean, see, coming from up north, I would find some of these things ironic, like, but it's accepted here and maybe even overlooked because it's not even thought about.
Well, I guess he was governor when Martin Hall was constructed.
Yeah. I understand that. I just don't understand how, like, with all the PC going around with everybody, like, every state in the union now has, like, Martin Luther King Jr. Highway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would think that they would have had some kind of revelation on the name so that they would change it to something else. You know, or maybe, you know, maybe make it like the Bibb Graves Memorial Hall or something that would indicate that there's been some wrongdoing or that there was wrongdoing at some point and they're looking to fix it or that they're looking to make it amends for the other students who come in and see this. Because I don't think all the black students here know that Bibb Graves was in the KKK.
Well,
otherwise,
no, I didn't know it.
Yeah, you didn't know it even. You know? Okay. Describe the decade of... This is going to be hard, so you can take a little bit of time if you want. The decades of the 50s, 60s, and 70s from white teachers looking at black students, okay, when you were teaching them, and how the black students were looking back at you.
The 50s,
Yeah, you can go decade by decade.
I don't recall teaching any black students in the 50s at all.
Really?
Schools were totally segregated during the 50s, as far as I was concerned.
Okay.
The 60s, they did, I think that the year I came over here in 1965, I think the ruling must have applied that in 64 and 65, because I remember coming here about the time that it was against the law to have segregated schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I first came here, there were few black students in my classes. But they came in, and they came a few more each time. And I don't remember that it ever bothered me. They just, as long as they did the work, it bothered me that they were not many black students who had come from those deprived or more deprived areas were behind. They were not up to the same standards that the white students were in my classes.
Because they had come from different schooling.
Mm-hmm.
So their products were different.
And that bothered me a little bit, but there were some lovely black people. And as far as their reaction, I don't remember any problems either way. I don't remember that they had bad attitudes or that it just didn't.
Did they seem to be more respectful, do you think? Do you think they might have tried harder because it was finally an opportunity for them to strut their stuff, so to speak?
I just cannot remember that there was any difference. I cannot. From the day I had black students in my classes, I honestly cannot remember any incidents that have been unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why that is, but I've had some lovely black people. I have a girl, she worked for the Anniston Star, and she works in Florida now. She's a journalist, and she went to school here, and she was one of the loveliest girls that I have ever taught.
Mm-hmm. Any academic wise, or she was really pretty?
Academic, and she was very attractive.
Uh-huh.
And I have seen some black girls, handsome boys and pretty girls that are black. I mean, some black. I honestly cannot. I cannot point to any instances in which I've had problems with them or that I have felt in any way any different from them than I have white students. Now, I don't know why that is. Maybe it goes back to the way I was brought up. I was taught as a child that that shouldn't be. You shouldn't have slaves. There shouldn't be a difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I haven't always been able. If I had black friends, they were free to come to my home. I never have had too many, but it wasn't because I didn't want to. It's just the circumstances didn't work it out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have that many black friends up north, but it's not that there's a shortage of them. It's just it seems like after the age of adolescence. I was friends with all the kids school age until we got into high school. And then it's like, once you get to be high school, you get taught things about your heritage or about certain key incidents, and all of a sudden your mind starts to wander, I guess, which is what breeds it for college, and that's what makes it so that you come here and you expand everything that you've ever learned before. And it's like there became vast differences between blacks and whites, as far as I'm concerned. And I didn't think that it was less, that they were less of people, or that they thought that I was less of people. It's just that we had less in common.
In common. And I think, you know, you naturally are drawn to people who have something in common with you.
Uh-huh.
And that's the case with me. One thing that even bothers me to this day, it doesn't happen every semester, but many times you go into a classroom and all the black students will be in one group.
Yeah.
And the whites in another. And that bothers me a little bit. And it seems to me, just by noticing, that white students go a little bit the second mile in order to accept black students. I don't know. Have you? Do you see a difference?
Myself, there's a question about that I have for you if you want me to get to it. Okay. And that's, in this university, I see either people make an extra length, but they're kind of insincere about it. It's like they want to get on the good side of someone who might look at them negatively just because they might look at them negatively. But it's almost like being political about it, like me, because I want you to, but not because for any reason, just that I want you to. And I noticed that in my dormitory, or
now passive, you have a better view of that than I do.
Yeah.
Because a teacher, I don't know the lifestyles and the activities of the students the way another student does.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead, I want to hear what you have to say about your dorm.
Okay, I hear in passing each day the word nigger by white.
You do?
White gentlemen. Roughly between 3 and 5
do
times
a day.
Do
they call them that in
yeah.
their hearing?
It's just in... no, I don't think they would do that. I think that they would do it behind a closed door, and they might hear it outside, but at the same time, I guess the black guys know what goes on, too, because they would talk... they talk about us, I'm sure. Like, what I did when I came down was I made sure... I don't care if I'm looked at wrong by anyone here for whatever reason, because I have no reason to suit anybody here but myself. So I'm going to be friends with blacks and whites. And I had a friend of mine last night, as a matter of fact, told me that people might not look at me, they might shy away from me a little bit because I have friends that are black down here.
Well, that might be. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But that would depend upon the background of the student.
Yeah.
And maybe some of them have come from the teaching that I had, and they wouldn't judge you, mm-hmm. but some others would. Because
well,
they come from the rural South. And I think there are vestiges of it. I think you cannot change social issues overnight. It takes time.
Exactly.
And to try to force it, you're going to cause revolution. It's something that your generation can accept it much more than mine. My husband, who is now dead, was not a college graduate. He was a high school graduate. He was a farm boy. He was a morally